We're going to be talking about a very familiar story this morning. We're going to be reading from Genesis 37, 1 through 11. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Once Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream that I dreamed. There were binding sheaves in the field. Suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, and then your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more because of his dreams and his words. He had another dream, and he told it to his brothers, saying, "Look, I have had another dream. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What kind of dream is that you have had? Shall we indeed come, I and your mother and your brothers, and bow down to you to the ground before you?" So his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. We look at that, and that was a rather dysfunctional family. If you go all the way back to the beginning, when Jacob had gone to his father-in-law, or his future father-in-law, and saw Rachel, wanted to marry Rachel, and worked for her for 7 years, and his father-in-law tricked him, and he wound up marrying Leah instead, so was there for another 7 years, and so on and so on, you know the story. So they were kind of dysfunctional from the beginning. But here we've gotten to a point where Rachel finally had a child, had a son named Joseph. And because Rachel was Jacob's favorite wife, Joseph became his favorite son. Well, he wanted to celebrate that, so he made him this coat of many colors, as we call it. And he kind of strutted around with it. You can kind of get the impression that that's what was happening. And his brothers didn't quite appreciate that. They thought they were older than he was. They should be given blessings just as much as Joseph was. And they didn't appreciate Joseph being a bit of a tattletale. He would go back to dad and say, "Well, you know what they were doing out there in the field today?" And get them in trouble. So they didn't like that. And they didn't like Joseph very well because he was that kind of a person. He was very faithful and had great integrity. And that's why he would go tattletale, because he had such integrity within himself that he wanted to be truthful, wanted to be honest, and he had great faith in God. So he was kind of a goody-two-shoes tattletale type, and his brothers did not like that. Especially the fact that Jacob loved him more than them. So he went out to the field one day. They saw him coming, and they kind of schemed among themselves. They were going to fix this. They had actually schemed to kill him, but the eldest brother would not allow that to happen. That's how they wound up throwing him in the well. But then they kind of got to thinking to themselves, what if somebody finds him and he tells dad? Because he's that kind of a person. And then we'll all be in trouble. So they fished him out of the well, and they sold him to some traders that happened to be going by, and he wound up in Egypt. Well, getting in Egypt seemed to work out pretty good. They noticed right off that he was a good person, had great integrity, and so one of the guards, Potiphar, decided that he would buy him and put him to work in his home. And that worked out real well, because it didn't take Potiphar very long to find out before he was a very good attendant around the house and put him in charge. Well, then came a problem. Potiphar's wife thought, well, there's a nice-looking young man, and I would like to have relations with him. So she flirted with him a little bit. That wasn't working. So one day she forcibly tried to put him in the bed with her, and he ran. But she managed to grab his cloak before he got away. So running away was a good thing because he maintained his integrity. But he got in trouble nonetheless because she lied and told her husband that he tried to rape me, and he wound up in prison. Now, here's a young man that if you were in his shoes, you would probably be thinking to yourself, I give up. Nothing seems to be going right here. First of all, my brothers try to kill me. I wind up in a well. I get sold into slavery. Then things start to brighten up a little bit, and now I'm in prison. He had every reason to just give up, but he never lost his faith. He knew within himself that there was a reason that this was happening. He knew that God would not do anything or allow anything to happen to him that was wrong. There had to be a reason for all this. Well, after being in the prison for a little while, the prison warden noticed how much integrity he had and how good he was at managing things and put him in charge of the prison. And so things were looking up again. There was a couple of Egyptians, the Pharaoh's cupbearer and the Pharaoh's baker, who wound up getting thrown in the same prison. And they had a dream one night. Well, they wondered, what does this all mean? And Joseph, kind of overhearing all this, he's like, well, he says, God can tell you what that means. You notice he didn't say, I can tell you what that means. He says, God can tell you what that means. So they explained their dreams to him and to the cupbearer. He said, well, what you're dreaming indicates you're going to get put back in favor with the Pharaoh. And when the baker told him his dream, he said, Pharaoh's going to kill you. Well, they weren't real sure about how he'd interpret those. But a few days later, sure enough, the cupbearer was reinstated and the baker was murdered. So he kind of got a reputation for being able to understand dreams. Even though if you were to ask him about it, he'd be, no, it wasn't me, it was God. Integrity and faith. Well, a few days went by, weeks, and the Pharaoh had a dream. And he didn't know how to interpret it. Of course, he went to all his magicians and prophets and all these people who were supposed to be able to interpret dreams, and they didn't have a clue. But the cupbearer remembered Joseph in the prison and how he had interpreted his dream and the baker's dream. So the Pharaoh sent for Joseph. And Joseph, coming to the Pharaoh, again, he's in a position where he could have really tooted his own horn and said, well, yeah, I can do that. But he didn't. His integrity made him go to the Pharaoh and say, God can interpret that for you. So the Pharaoh told him about the dreams, about the fat cows and the skinny cows and the good wheat and the withering wheat. And Joseph says, I know what that is. God says you're going to have 7 years of great feast. You're going to grow all kinds of things. And then you're going to have 7 years of famine. People are going to starve. It's going to be a terrible time. Well, the Pharaoh was pretty impressed by that, especially since his people couldn't tell him what it was all about. So the Pharaoh put him in charge of all the food in Egypt. He became second in command, essentially, right below the Pharaoh. Whatever he said went. So they went on and got through the 7 years of great harvest and feast and all that, and they were storing stuff away and finally got down to those 7 years of famine, and they were doing well enough. They had stored enough stuff. They were actually selling this food to their neighbors. Well, Jacob and his family were about to starve. So he sent some of his sons to Egypt to buy some wheat. When they got there, they didn't recognize Joseph. Joseph had grown up, and he's dressed in this Egyptian garb, and they didn't know who he was. And he's speaking Egyptian, even though he understood what they were saying in Hebrew. And he thought, I'm going to give them a test. I'm going to see if they've grown up any, and if they have integrity now, where they didn't have integrity before. So he slipped a little silver into their bags and sent them on their way. Well, they started to camp that night, and they realized, uh-oh, there's silver in here, and we're going to get blamed for that. So they took it back, which showed a little bit of integrity. Well, he tested them a couple of times and found out that they were different than they were. So he started weeping, spoke to them in their language, and they realized who it was. And I don't know if at that point they thought back to themselves, wow, he told us that was going to happen all those years ago. The big thing to take away from all this, though, is he had great faith in God. When his brothers tried to kill him and threw him in the well, he could have given up. When he wound up in Egypt and was accused of rape and thrown into prison, he could have given up. But he didn't. He had such great faith that God had him on a particular path that he never stopped believing in God. He never stopped praying to God. He knew God was guiding him somewhere. Didn't know where, but he knew God was guiding him somewhere. And sometimes in our lives we have problems seeing those things. Bad things happen to us, and we think, why? What did I do? Why am I getting punished? And we wonder about these bad things. But what you've got to stop and realize is sometimes God uses those bad events to change your path, to nudge you in the direction he wants you to go, or to prepare you for something in the future. And you have to have faith in that. Don't let those things get you down. That is our greatest tendency, is to think, well, I give up. Don't give up. Have faith. God's leading you somewhere, and trust in that. Where he may be leading you is through your trials, whatever you're going through. You may, after you get through this, run into somebody that is about to face that same trial. Cancer, for example. You survived cancer. You got through it. And you are thankful. And God leads you to someone who has just been diagnosed with cancer. And you can help that person. You can talk to that person and say, you know, I've been through that. I know what you're experiencing. And trust me. Pray about it. Have faith. And God will get you through it like he got me through it. And you'll be okay. That may be the path that God has you on. Or he may just be strengthening you for something that you're going to face in the future, similar to what you're going through now, but in the future you'll know how to take care of it. Joseph went through some pretty rough times, but he survived it, and he came out on top. And we can do the same thing. We can survive and come out on top. We just have to trust God. And sometimes we have a real problem trusting God. It's just one of those things that's kind of natural to us. We have problems trusting. But we have to trust God. We have to help him to help ourselves to understand that God is with us. And we also have to be truthful and honest no matter what the situation. Have integrity with that faith. I mentioned the other night in Bible study, there was a lead article in National Geographic a couple of months ago, I think. It was the cover article called Why We Lie. It's a pretty interesting article. It starts out talking about how when we are little, we start lying as a defense mechanism. I didn't do that, Mom, to keep from getting spanked. Or that wasn't me, to protect ourselves. And when that works out pretty good, we start developing more and more of those kind of habits. And the article goes on to list, a half a dozen or so different types of liars. You know, those people that over-exaggerate their experience and ability to get a job and different things like that. But the point is, cheating and lying is kind of something that's natural to humanity. But we don't have to let that be us. If we have faith and we have great integrity, we can get through anything. We can trust God to get us through any little thing. We don't have to lie to protect ourselves. We can do it. We can get through it. In 1967, there was a young soldier named Eugene McDaniel. Vietnam War. Everybody remembers the Vietnam War. I remember the nightly news, "Who Died Today" report, which was pretty sad. But we were all kind of drawn into this Vietnam War, which really wasn't a war, it was a conflict. We never declared war. But we lost thousands of young men. This Eugene McDaniel, he was captured by the North Vietnamese. And he was taken to the Hanoi Hilton. Of course, you know what the Hanoi Hilton was. It got named that because it was the notoriously brutal prison camp. Lots of torture and bad things. So he had a lot of self-pity for himself, a lot of despair, a lot of depression. He's wondering, why me? He gets into this camp, and he gets thrown into a cell with another young soldier who had been there for a little while named Bill Metzger. And Bill Metzger was laying there in dried blood, cuts all over his body. And Eugene thought to himself, wow, I could be like that. Maybe my situation is not as bad as I thought it was. And he starts caring for his cellmate, and he starts caring for others in the camp. He reminds himself of Romans 8:28. Says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." There is good coming out of everything. As terrible as something might seem to you at the moment, there is a good coming out of that. God works for good. All things good. So anyway, this Eugene McDaniel, he starts helping the other prisoners in this brutal prison camp, helping them to cope and helping them to not give in to despair. And when he gets out, after about 6 years from the suffering, he thinks to himself, now he is a better and stronger person than he was going in. He has more compassion for others. He is strengthened by what he went through. He's a better person. Anybody in that situation, you wouldn't blame them for just throwing up their hands and saying, okay, I give up. But he didn't. Joseph didn't give up. This young soldier did not give up. We should not give up. No matter what we face, we have to maintain faith and integrity. God created us to have choices. And the choices we make affect who we are, how we live, and how others see us. You can make a choice between good and evil. You can make a choice between love or hate, wisdom or foolishness, action or inaction, but the choices you make affect your life. And we were given those choices from the very beginning. When God created Adam and Eve, he would have preferred, I'm sure, to just been able to provide for us forever. But because of what happened in the fall of man, we were given choices. We were given free will, the ability to make choices. And the choices we make are important. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." So it's important, the choices you make. Just because something might look right to you based on the perspective of our society today doesn't mean it is right. You have to look at things from a God perspective, not from a societal perspective. Society sees things different than we do. The choices you make affect you and affect others around you. So the first choice you should make in every situation is have a good attitude. Don't let despair get you. And then all your other choices will flow from that. If you maintain a positive attitude, positive things come out of it. It's easier to cope. If you go into something with a negative attitude, you're sunk from the beginning. So we need to be Josephs. We need to have strength. We need to have faith. We need to have integrity. And great things can come out of our lives, even when we face terrible tragedies, pain and suffering, or something that would knock a normal person on their rear. We can't let that happen because we've got God. And God will walk with you, and He will help you get through any situation. All you have to do is trust and believe. And maintain your integrity. Don't lose your integrity just to get by in society. That's easy, but it's not right. Faith and integrity, two very important things in a Christian life. Amen.